and Sister Claire took very seriously. So listen for God's word to you in this familiar passage from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, and chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your parent in heaven. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly parent is perfect. And from chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. So in college, I took a Christian nonviolence class. We studied Christian peacemakers throughout history, and one of them was St. Francis of Assisi. We studied his life and his teachings, and then we watched the film Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. Has anybody seen that? Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's from 1972, directed by Franco Zeffirelli. There is a particularly beautiful scene of Francis' conversion in that movie. Now, Francis was born in 1181 CE into a wealthy family. His father was a cloth merchant. Young Francis loved to party and have a good time on his father's dime. At the same time, he dreamed of being a knight. He had romantic visions of the glorious battles that he would fight and win. And then he actually went to war, where he was captured by the enemy and remained a prisoner for a very long time. He came home sick in body, mind, and spirit. Three things helped him gain a new perspective on life. He found that time alone in nature helped him heal. He realized for the first time that the poor beggars and those sick with leprosy who were all around his town were also children of God, and he gained new compassion for them. He also found a deserted, falling down church, San Damiano, where he had a life-changing experience with Jesus. He had a vision of Jesus speaking to him from the cross, charging him with rebuilding the church. Eventually, Francis realized that this call was literal when it came to rebuilding San Damiano, but it was also literal when it came to rebuilding the larger church. So in response to his spiritual awakening, Francis returned home, and he promptly gave away all of his father's wealth. Well, maybe not all of it, but lots of it. He emptied his father's warehouse of cloth, and he gave it to the poor in the streets. His angry and desperate father took him to the local priest, hoping that the priest would talk some sense into him. And this was the point of Francis' conversion, when he began to articulate his values, his desire to live free of material possessions, his love for the poor and all of humanity, his love for nature and all of God's creatures, as well as his love for God. And this is the scene from the movie that I loved best and that I foolishly decided to show the high school youth group at the Presbyterian Church in Claremont, California, one Sunday evening when we were talking about conversion and call. Now, even though I love the movie Brother Sun, Sister Moon, and I know St. Francis's story fairly well after that entire class that I took, but I also had and still have a faulty memory, and I forgot a key part of this story. When Francis' father and mother and the entire village of Assisi gathered for the confrontation with the priest after Francis gave away his father's property, Francis declared his intention to follow Jesus and live free of possessions. He intended to beg for his living after that. And as he was saying this in the movie, he began to remove his clothing. Piece by piece, he took off all of his clothes, bundled them together, and tried to give them back to his poor weeping father. Finally, Francis dropped his clothes on the ground and he walked naked out of Assisi through the city gates and out into the countryside. And because this was an Italian film made in the 70s, through most of this scene, the viewer gets a good look at Francis' naked backside. As you might imagine, that was the only part of the movie that the high schoolers really saw. It is the only thing they remembered from that whole beautiful conversion story. But you can also bet that I have never forgotten that part of the movie after that night at youth group. A saint's biography is called a hagiography, and Francis' hagiography is full of big, dramatic stories, even though he died very young at around the age of 44. Maybe you know some of these stories. One time, Francis was trying to preach, and the birds in nearby trees were making too much noise. So he asked them to be quiet, and they did. They were quiet. Thereafter, he was known for his ability to talk to the birds. Another time, there was a wolf in the area terrorizing the local farmers and stealing their livestock. Francis found the wolf and had a word with him, and the wolf never bothered anyone again. And this gift might be foreign to Protestant Christians, but beloved by Catholics. It's also said that because of his great devotion to Jesus, towards the end of his life, Francis developed the stigmata. He had the wounds of Christ on his hands and his feet. There are many more stories about Francis and the miracles he performed. He is probably the most well-known of all the saints and possibly even the most popular saint by people in every nation and every faith. His story is beautiful and deeply faithful, and it elicits a sentimental response. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan friar who is also a writer on Christian mysticism. And he calls this sort of romantic idealization of St. Francis birdbath Franciscanism. Now, I am absolutely guilty of birdbath Franciscanism. I confess I've been looking for just the right St. Francis birdbath for my flower bed for a very long time. And maybe we're all sort of like those high schoolers who saw Francis' naked backside and lost sight of everything else that he said and did. In the meantime, Francis' life and ministry continue to have a profound effect on the world. Pope Francis told this story. In 2013, during the papal election, I was seated next to Brazilian Cardinal Claudio Humes, a good friend. When the votes reached 2/3, he said this, "Don't forget the poor." Right away, thinking of the poor, I thought of Francis of Assisi. For me, he is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and protects creation. Oh, how I would like a church which is poor and for the poor. Don't forget the poor. The newly elected pope chose Francis as his papal name, and he aspired to be like his namesake. Pope Francis lived in a modest room in the Vatican guest house rather than the palace where the popes usually lived. In January, Pope Francis' successor, Pope Leo, declared 2026 a special jubilee year in honor of the 800th anniversary of St. Francis' death. The jubilee is a celebration of St. Francis' enduring message of peace, poverty, and ecological stewardship, which are of such critical importance right now. Francis was a mirror to the church during his lifetime, and he remains a mirror to the church today. His first trip to Rome to meet the Pope was deeply shocking to him. Francis called sister poverty his wife. He called the brothers in his order the friars minor. His humility was second nature to him. He found the church's ostentatious wealth completely overwhelming. Francis tried to follow Jesus as literally as possible, and he did so with such great love and joy that it was infectious. People of every age and stage of life joined Francis. Wealthy young men, his friends and peers in Assisi, former soldiers, poor beggars, the sick, the hungry, and finally the women. Claire of Assisi was the first woman to join Francis and his brothers. She heard him preach when she was a teenager, and eventually she ran away to join him and his newly formed community of friars. He shaved her hair, marking her intention to take religious vows. Claire founded a women's community called the Poor Ladies, or Poor Clares, a sister organization to Francis' friars. Within the Christian faith, there is a small group of people called holy fools. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but wisdom to those who are being saved." Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount might easily be construed as foolishness also. Turn the other cheek. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile also. Give to the one who asks it of you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Store up your treasure in heaven, not on earth. Francis willingly chose this kind of foolishness. His earliest biographer quoted Francis saying, my brothers, God has called me by the way of humility and showed me the way of simplicity. The Lord told me what he wanted. He wanted me to be a new fool in the world." Francis was called to be a new fool in the world. In contradiction to their wealthy families and to their wealthy church, Francis and Claire lived simple lives with no desire for wealth or power, few, if any, possessions, and no debts. They emulated Jesus, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, practicing nonviolence, and loving their neighbors. What might that kind of beautiful, simple, foolish life look like on us? Can we be holy disruptors in the way of Francis and Claire? Amen.